Thank you, Jesus. Let's bow our heads to pray. Father, we are grateful for your presence today. We thank you for, just thank you for everything. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what you would do. Holy Spirit, I trust that today you would help people. People's life will change today in Jesus' name. I pray that today your word would be an answer to someone's question in Jesus' name. I pray that you help every heart here. When your word comes, let it be deeply rooted in the name of Jesus. Let these words be a part of their life. Let these words become their lifestyle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay. So today I'll talk about, I don't really have a topic, but I would like two things. First one is, the first one, I don't know what to call it, but the second one, I will talk about meditation. But before we get to meditation, let me just recap. Let me just say something very quick. The sermon that Joshua, the word that Joshua shared on Saturday, I would say that we take it really serious because that word is everything. He basically said, when you fail, you can stand. That's what I took home from what Joshua shared last week. He said, when you fail, you can stand. And I just feel like I should just say, thinking that nobody should ever forget that when you're working with Christ, it's not a hard thing to do. It's that you should understand that most times you're not always perfect. God is not looking for a perfect man. God is looking for someone that is willing. So there are three things I got this week. That I should, three stages you must know when you are following God. This is the first part of the charge. Three stages you must know when you are following God is that, three things you must have is that you must have an open heart. So when this word came to me, it was also a teaching to me, because most times following God is a roller coaster experience. Following God is a roller coaster experience. So you must also have a heart that is open, a heart that is ready, a heart that is ready. There's a difference between a door that is shut and a door that is open. So you must have an open heart. Habakkuk, please give me Proverb chapter 2, verse 1. So this is just I just need to share this word because it's in my spirit to share it by force. So I would do what God wants me to do. Yes, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you. Next verse. So that you incline your ears to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. The next. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. Now stop here. Can you give me NLT? I want NLT. NLT would help me to share this word well. So you must have an open heart. The second thing you must have is that you must be willing. You should not be... Serving God should not be something that you just want to do because Pastor Kenne called you outside and pray for you, and if you don't do it, you faint. That is not... It's something that comes from the heart. If you have... Is these things I'm teaching you today is a process. First, your heart must be open. Second, you must be willing. The third thing is that the third stage is now the one that we do till we die. That's chasing God. You chase God. So you are chasing God. Do you know what it means to chase? Do you know what it means to chase, guys? You chase God. You are running after him, but you are chasing him. Your eyes are on him. Your eyes are on him. You are not chasing like this. You are chasing like this. Your gaze, you are focused, you are chasing God. Chase God. It's not easy. It's actually not easy, but if you are willing, I've told you two things. If you have an open heart, sincerely, if you have an open heart, a heart that can receive, and if you are willing, you will chase him. You will chase him. And I've realized lately that God actually, it's not even a bad thing, because he actually deserves to be chased. But God actually loves. Sometimes God loves when you are chasing him. So you are chasing him. You are making God the most important person in your head, in your life. God is the most important. You are chasing. They are asking you, talk about what are you doing? What have you been doing all your life? I've just been chasing God. When you're sick, I've just been chasing God. I just want to find this God. So when I say you should be willing, I mean that it should be something that you should have a hunger for God. That's it. Okay, give me NLT verse 1. I want to hurry up. I want to also share meditation. Verse 1. Like Proverbs 2, verse 1. I have KJ. Okay. My child. I want to say my son. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom. We'll wait here. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Tune your ears to wisdom. Tune your. It means that there's a frequency. You can choose how your ear. This verse, if you're looking at it well, you see that there's also willingness. God did not say, I will tune your ear for you. God said, you tune your ears to wisdom. You sit down, I want you to learn how to go to the presence of God. And then, if you really take this word seriously, this open heart willingness, because this word is also for me, and I'm going to practicalize this open heart willingness and chasing more. But if you really obey this part of it, by this tuning your ears to wisdom and concentrating on understanding. Many of us here, if they bring, let me use money, because money is money. If they bring money now and say that you should look at this light for like an hour and they'll pay you, it means you should concentrate. When I say concentrate, I mean you should look at the light. You're not looking here, you're not looking here, you're not looking down. Your eyes should just be here and they'll pay you. How many of us will do it? They are paying you good money. How many of us will do it? How many of us can do it? That's the word. Can you stay and focus on this light without looking here? You're not looking here, you're not looking here, you're not looking down. You're just focusing on the light. Can anybody do it? Can anybody concentrate? That's exactly how you can concentrate on God. Exactly. That's the definition. That's how it is. You concentrate on God. So you concentrate on understanding. I call it your secret place. If you go and talk to God, you concentrate on understanding. Concentrate on your eyes should be on understanding. You tune your ears. Because for God to say you should tune your ears to wisdom means that it's your choice. You can go to God with a very hard heart. And you feel like if you go, you now stand God, it's because you feel you are special. You now stand God will now be speaking to you. As what? You tune your ear. That thing just makes it look like you are. That thing makes it look like you are ready. It means you are opening your heart. You are shutting down every other thing apart from God. You are concentrating on God. And you are saying, God, this time is for you. This 1 hour is for you. This 5 hours is for you. All right. Then, Abaku, give me 3. I really want to finish this proverb because this is not really what I want to do. Well, I want to finish. Give me 3. Proverb 2, 3. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Cry out. Cry. I don't know how to speak Yoruba, but I feel like crying Yoruba would be very strong. But cry out for insight. You see, Bible is sweet. I don't know. Is anybody enjoying this thing? Yes. This is how you should read your Bible. You take it small. Don't rush. You cry out for insight. You cry out for insight. You ask for understanding. And I believe this word so much because God already said, if I ask, he would give me. And if I ask, and it's according to his will, he will give me. And understanding is something God said we should do in verse 2. So if I'm asking for understanding, it means he will give me understanding. God will never deny you. Ah, God. But if you cry out for insight, you should ask for understanding. Give me 4. 4. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasure. For the Bible to use hidden treasure as an example of what you should do when you're looking for understanding, it means that understanding is not something you can buy in the market. Understanding is not something that when you come into Christianity, you open your Bible, you are getting everything. Moses stood up. Oh, Moses stood up. It's not like that. I know when everybody gives Christ, so it's very hard to read the Bible. Yes or yes. Very hard. It's because this thing is a puzzle. Every verse here, you might think it's very simple and you get it, but there's a spirit behind every verse here. Everything. You have to unlock it. So God is, for God to use hidden treasure to, for someone to use hidden treasure to tell you what you should, for him to use it as an example of what you should be seeking for understanding, like it means that understanding is something that comes directly from God. Give me 5. I don't want to waste. I don't want to stay here for too. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. If you read verse 1 of Proverbs, which was talking about fearing the Lord, so when I read verse 1 of Proverbs, as if Holy Spirit knew, then I asked, when I saw fear the Lord, then I started asking, what do you mean fear the Lord? I kept asking, then I now read verse chapter 2, that was when I now, but this fear the Lord is another, is another one. But let's quickly move to, I can take down the Bible passage, let's move to meditation. I just, that word I just shared now is something that my spirit really has been, I didn't plan to share it for this long, but I feel it's worth it. I feel the word was for somebody today. Now your heart must be open, your heart must be willing, and you must chase. And the thing about following God is that you sincerely know when you're putting effort or not. You know. You know when you're putting. If you always come outside church and you're like, nah, 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 and inside you are sleeping 24/7, God is watching you like this. In short, it's the one that, Pastor Lord said, it's better you pray inside more than pray outside. Don't come and impress us in church. Impress God inside. Which one? You can't even impress God. Impress yourself inside. Okay, let's move to today's. Let's move to what I actually want to share is meditation. So what's meditation? I personally feel meditation is food for the heart. Basically, meditation is food for the heart. Food for the heart. There is actually a dictionary meaning of meditation, but I don't want to use a dictionary. I'm preaching what I've been living with. Meditation is food for the heart. I always tell people that you should see your heart as a child or as a pet or something that you genuinely love and is very fragile. So you would, if you see your heart that way, you would care for your heart. If you see your soul as something that is very important, you care for it. What do I mean? You want to feed it. You want to check in on your heart all the time. Just wait, yes, account. You know the way you used to have this. 1 minute you have 50k in your account. The next minute you have 5k. Maybe you're expecting money. You'll not be checking it. You'll not be opening the app. That's exactly how you should do for your heart. You keep checking your heart. Keep checking your heart. And feeding your heart. How do you feed your heart? Meditation. Abaku, give me Joshua 1:8. Joshua, please, I want everybody to follow me. I'm guessing somewhere. Joshua 1:8. This book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. But this book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, shall not leave thy mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. I want you to understand, see, all these things you see in Bible, for Bible to put day and night, it's telling you how important the Bible is, the book of law is. You may observe to do according to all that is written in it. We'll get back to this verse. How about you give me Psalm 1 verse, just give me Psalm 1, I'm looking for something. That's someone that said Psalm 1 verse 1. Let's start from verse 1 quickly. Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornful. Give me 2. But he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Give me 3. Yeah, he shall be like a tree planted by the riverside that brings forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. If you remember in Joshua 1:8, we saw something about prospering and good success. Yes or yes, if you're following, you understand what I'm saying. What I want to pick out, the main thing I even want to pick out from here is that I read a page of a book, and the man was talking about Christian prosperity and its causes. So he spoke about Christian prosperity. He now used this Psalm 1 verse 3, and he spoke about how, the man really broke it down, but he spoke about how prosperous a Christian would be if he meditates and also avoid evil. You remember verse 1? I feel everybody's... Are you guys with me? I feel I'm... Okay. Verse 1. Blessed... Yeah, so the man spoke about the curses. He said, this part, not doing evil, and also meditating is what to bring prosperity. My own, I want to come and tell you that he's meditating. I'm telling you part of what he said. But he said, for a Christian to prosper, you need to meditate. And this meditation, I'm also preaching this thing to myself. because I've started practicalizing it recently and it actually works like magic. Let me give you importance of the reason why you should meditate. I don't like giving these things here because it should look like we are writing notes. So the reason why you should meditate is because it gives your mind it improves your mind, like what Pastor Kenneth said today. It improves your mind, and you know Pastor Kenneth said if you want to improve your mind, you must not be a lazy person. So one thing that will help you to improve your mind is what? Meditating. So improve your mind. It gives your mind a Philippians 4 verse 8 mind. Give me Philippians 4 verse 8. Everybody know Philippians 4 verse 8. Most people. But give me Philippians. That's what meditation structures your mind to be like Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on what? Meditate on what? Meditate on what? Do you see how many things? True, noble, just, pure, lovely, good reports. You should what? So what will help you? The reason why you must meditate is because it gives you a Philippians 4:8 vibes. Philippians 4:8 heart. It structure is... I've tried this thing. I'm not preaching what I don't know or what I plan to do. I'm already doing it. But it gives you this kind of heart. It structures your heart. And this is the kind of heart I'll receive. Because there's nothing bad here. This is the kind of heart that God will speak to all the time. Let's move. Oh, my goodness. It gives you the heart posture of receiving. Yes, I already said that. This is the kind of heart that God will use. This is the kind of heart God is ready to communicate with. I preached one time about your heart. Pastor, I know I've spoken about the heart. I think Papi has also spoken about the heart. Yeah, but a lot of people have actually spoken about the heart. And they are not telling lies because your heart is the point of communication. Like I used to say. So this meditation gives your heart posture of receiving. It also becomes, this is the most interesting part. Meditation, because meditation is something, is a thing of the mind, it's not something that is physical. It grooms your mind and it becomes, whatever you are meditating on becomes a part of you automatically. You won't know when it becomes a part of you. Just like when you watch music videos and then your mind is on the girl that you saw in them. Your mind is just there. You're everything about you is just there. You're just thinking about, automatically it becomes, that's the kind of girl you want. That's how life is. It's something of the mind. So it becomes a part of you. And the good thing about using the word of God as meditation on the word of God is because this is the whole life. Everything that happened in generation, last generation, everything inside here. And you have answers. I was having a conversation with somebody and the person was saying things. And I wanted to reply. I actually wanted to tell the person, I beg you, don't do that kind of thing. And the person was claiming, I can do this, I can do that. Then automatically, I don't even know what happened, but it was that meditation. What just came to my mind is, there's this part of the Bible that, I think 1 Corinthians, if someone claims to know everything, the person don't know anything. And I laughed. I was laughing because as the person was talking, and I was just laughing. It's because it has, that particular Bible scripture is in my spirit. It's soaked in my spirit. I didn't even know when he just said, it was just an answer. So if you meditate on the word of God becomes part of you. You see most people quoting Bible. They are not trying to impress you. It's because that's their lifestyle. It's because that's how they live. That's how they think. And the sweet thing is that the word of God really changes you in a positive way. Bible is not boring. If you open your heart to reading the Bible, you will do it. People always say, if you open your heart, if you sincerely open your heart to read the Bible, whether you get something, you do not get something, you are just reading it, you're asking for understanding. You enjoy the Bible because that's the truth. Yeah. I said it improves your mind. It becomes a part of you. Give me Psalm 119. So David was one person. 119 verse. I didn't say verse. Jesus. 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day.
It's a king that is saying this, you know. Do you know? It's David that is a king. Imagine our president saying, how I love your law, and it's my meditation all day. I asked myself that if a king can say it, why me? I'm just a normal girl. Why can I not say it? A king that has a lot of problems, what's in his head is the law. He's just saying, I love your law, and it's my meditation all day. Give me 100. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients because give me from 97. Let's go to 100. I'm trying to look for something. Let me use my Bible so I don't get to confirm where it is. Okay. It's 99. Give me 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. So the reason I'm just sharing all these Bible verses is because I want you to understand how much. Abba, quickly give me Psalm 63, verse 6. Is this 6? Yes, verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. King. I don't know if people are getting. Are you people getting this thing? A king is saying on his bed. Bed, they created bed for what? For what? Peaceful sleep. On his bed, he's meditating on God, on the word of God, on the law. In the night watches. You are meditating. You are thinking. And the sweet thing about meditation is that you will prosper. You have good sources. Give me Joshua 1:8. Because Joshua 1:8 already said it. You have good sources if you meditate. I feel Joshua 1:8 is how David lived his life. I feel that's just how David lived his life. Your way will be what? Prosperous. You have what? Good success. You have what? You have what? Good success. David found so much delight in the word of God. He found so much delight. How do you meditate? I listened to a sermon. She said, if you can worry, you can meditate. Yes, I will never forget. If you can worry, it means if you can think. If you don't have food and you are, no, if you are craving spaghetti, if you can think about spaghetti and worry about spaghetti and think of what you put and what you don't put, it means you can meditate. Do you know? I'm teaching you practical stuff, so this is not jaja thing. It means you can meditate. If you can think about when you want to pay your school fees, how you want to pay your school fees, how you want to make money, how you want to, it means you can make, for the creative people, graphic designers, products, if you can see that I am thinking of a very fine design, it means you can meditate. It's because your mind is working. If your mind is working and every day are like this, I don't know. But I feel everybody's mind is working. There's something, when people say there's something on my mind, it means their mind is active. So you can meditate. What does it mean to meditate? When you read a part of the Bible, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You stay there. In short, when you are done with your Bible, so you close your Bible and you are washing plate and you are thinking, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. In short, you not go to Google, what does it mean for word to be a lamp unto your feet? You're thinking about it. There was this Bible verse God opened my eyes to, and I lie down on my bed. In short, throughout that day, it was in the night, I woke up, read the Bible, then in the night I slept. Then I woke up the next morning. I'm not even joking, what was on my mind was that Bible verse. Throughout that day, I don't even know that Bible verse. I used the dictionary, I went to Google. Is it possible? Is it part of me and I will not forget it? Everybody here today, I want to tell you that there's no excuse for, you don't have a legit excuse for not reading your Bible. You don't have a legit, whether they gave you, gave your life to Christ when your mother gave birth to you, you don't have a legit excuse for not reading your Bible. And the mistake I made is when I was going to school, I was going to say, I'm going to school, I have a siren, and Balaji teacher will beat me. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your what? Say your name. Say, choose home, I'll read my Bible. You can add my name. You can add my name if you want. Just say, choose home, I'll read your Bible. I'll read my Bible. Say your name now. Yeah. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Give me John 15, verse 7. That will be the last scripture. Today is scripture, scripture, scripture. Read your Bible. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you are following me, you see plenty of times that God said when you ask. You see plenty of times we're talking about good success and asking. Asking for understanding. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you would ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is it. And what does it mean to abide in God? Every day you are wondering why you are leaving your house and a bike man is not hitting you and you are dying. It's because God is thinking of you. If God is thinking of you, why can you not think of God? Are you not doing yourself? If God come down one day and say, I don't want to think of this. God cannot say, let's just imagine. No, it cannot happen. But let's just use that. You use that and just imagine it. God just, one time, just, God just say, I don't want to think of this person. You don't finish, yo. You are gone. I'm telling you, love, that one has gone. So if God can think of you, why can you not think of God? Think about it now. Everybody have sense here. If God can think of you, why can you not think of God? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. It means, and the Bible abide in you. And the Bible is your life. And you're working like this, and everything is about you is the Bible. In this Bible, it talks about lust. Bible talks about everything. And it says, my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. It's a thing of agreement. God is abiding in you. You're abiding in him. If you don't abide in him, I don't know. I will not say it, but... You just have to abide in him. And the word of God has to be part of your life. The word of God has to lead you. The word of God has to... If you read Bible very well, anything that happens to you, you have an answer to it. Anything that happens to you, you have an answer to it. No matter the size. If you read the Bible very well, once something happens to you, as you are looking, you're already seeing the answer. You're wiser than your teachers. That's Psalm 119 talked about David saying he's now wiser than his teachers. You think it's child's play? Can we stand up and... Okay, we can sit. I just want to pray. Can we close our eyes? Open our hearts. Let's open our hearts. Because today we are going to ask for help. We'll say, God, God, help me to meditate on your word. And be sincere, if you cannot read the Bible, if you don't have a Bible, if it's hard for you to read the Bible, whatever your situation is, just say, God, I want you to help me to love your word, to meditate on your word day in, day out. God, I've heard your word today. I want to abide in you. I want to read your word and be. I want to just love your word. Can we pray sincerely from your heart? I want you to sincerely talk to God like he's at your front right now. Talk to God. Just talk to God. Talk to God and just say, God, I want you to abide in me. God, I want to meditate on your word. God, I know that I can do more than what I'm doing now. I know that I can read. I know that I can take out 30 minutes, 1 hour, 2 hours to read your word more. But I've just been ignorant. God, I sincerely want to read your word. Me too, I want to know Bible. Me too, I want to meditate. Me too, I want to have answers. Sincere, this is a sincere conversation with God. Keep talking to God.